Maybe things look a little different here this morning. Well, church wasn't going so well, so we thought we would open up the woodworking shop. A little work on the side here, so I hope you'll bear with us now as we prepare our new enterprise, which is Workshop of Wonder. So you're going to have a great time this next week. As you can see, Vacation Bible School is getting ready to start tomorrow evening. So we are so happy about that. It's going to be an awesome time. Robin and all of her little elves put together this great set. And we're going to have a great time. Great time. Well, welcome to church this morning. I would like to welcome you if you're visiting with us today. Welcome. I'm Pastor David Branson, and welcome to Lakeside United Methodist Church this morning. If you would be so kind, your connect card and your bulletins, please. If you're a regular member, just put your name on there. If you're a visitor, would like information about the church, you can indicate that on there as well. And don't forget your salty service on the back. All you folks that were working on PBS stuff this week, you now qualify to mark the salty service box as well, or any other outreach that you've done through our church this week. PBS is starting tomorrow evening. That is an awesome thing. We're all very excited about that. We're looking forward to having a great group of kids here and to be able to share the word of Jesus Christ with the kids in our community and our neighborhood. So please keep that in prayer this week, if you would. Our healing and communion service, which is scheduled for the third Wednesday of the month. Obviously, we won't be doing that this Wednesday, but we will be doing it on the 23rd, the following Wednesday. So 1 week from this Wednesday, we will be having our healing and communion service right here in the sanctuary at 6 p.m. As well, no Bible study this week. We will continue that next week as well at 7 p.m. over in the fellowship hall. So be aware of that. And if you come on Wednesday evening, you can help with VBS versus having Bible study. So keep that in mind. Just a reminder as well, there's an insert for Night of Joy. We're getting down to the time when we need to order our tickets for that. So if anyone is interested in joining us for that, we get a group discount for a group purchase of tickets. So we need to know either today or tomorrow, at least call the office and let Carolyn know, or Christina Harden, if you're interested or know someone who would like to attend Night of Joy in September with us. There is an insert in your bulletins this morning. I think that's enough for announcements. Let's now prepare our hearts and minds for worship.
Thank you. Help us this morning to turn our hearts toward you and to leave the cares and concerns of the world, the noise, all that's going on in our lives, and just to focus on you this morning and your wonders. We're so grateful to be here in Jesus' name. I think please remain standing. We're going to do a couple of worship songs. Is anyone coming forward to lead that? All right, you are washed in the blood.
Right over here.
Is he alive? Is he alive?
right away.
That's me. You hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Well, good morning, all. My name is Sandy Fever. And I imagine in Bill's case, I'd like to invite you all to come join us in power. The ordinary can become extraordinary with God beginning tomorrow, July 14th, at 5:30.
Can you talk a little louder?
Can't hear you.
Join us at the Workshop of Wonders, where we imagine and
hey, Sandy, are you talking about PBS?
Hey, it's my good friend, Ribbit the Ant. Everybody say, hi, Ribbit.
Hi, Ribbit.
Hey, Sandy, give me six.
Exactly, my three-segmented pal.
What will the visionaries do in the Workshop of Wonders?
Well, there will be exciting inventions such as wonderful Bible stories, great music, cool crafts, exciting science, fun games, and more. We'll also meet people from the Bible who used what they had to make something amazing with God.
Wow. Hey, Sandy, is it snack time yet?
Yeah, I know, Ribbit. It's not snack time yet, but let me do some adjustments here on your cap.
Thanks.
All right. There you go. That'll keep snacks off your mind, okay? All right, Ribbit. I'd like you to go to the laboratory of one of my heroes, Dr. Wow.
Are we going to use the AntCam 3000?
Yes, it will give us an ant's eye view of whatever you look at. Even a great inventor like Dr. Wow uses ordinary objects, and he and his assistant Sam are building an amazing contraption right now.
Cool! And with the AntCam 3000, you'll see what I see.
Exactly. And friends, you're all invited to join Ribbit and me at the workshop during each session of Workshop of Wonders. And we'll join Dr. Wow and Sam at Dr. Wow's laboratory via video.
How do our visionaries sign up?
Well, the Workshop of Wonders PBS runs from tomorrow, July 14th, through Friday, July 18th, from 5:30 to 8:30, followed by a family fun day on Saturday, July 19th, and registration is going on right now. We hope to see everybody there.
Bye. See you there.
See you later, Ribbit.
Bye.
See you there, everybody. Thank you.
Let's give them a round of applause.
In case things get out of hand. Feeling well equipped with this. Notice I still have my rock up there on the podium. I am developing quite an arsenal here at Lakeside United Methodist. This is for any unruly ants this week, so we shouldn't have a problem with them. Right, Rick?
This is a time in our service when we set aside a special time of prayer and just come together for those in our congregation. And we've had several instances of lost ones this weekend. Saturday was a tough day in the life of our church and people associated with our church. We've had four people loosely associated with our church pass away on Saturday. So it's been quite a weekend as far as
folks and those that are going on to their glory in heaven with our Lord. But I'll read those. Actually, we'll start with those. I got a call this morning during our prayer time. We always lift up folks needing extra prayers this morning. And as we got our prayer time here this morning, my phone rang, and it was Charlotte Holloway, and her husband Kenneth passed away this morning, or late last night, I guess. But Kenneth Holloway passed away yesterday as well. We found out yesterday that Lane Loucher, Sandy Paper, his sister-in-law Linda passed away. Wanda, his wife, was up with her, and got to spend some good time with her. But she passed away yesterday as well. Kenneth Holloway, like I said, Sharon McCarthy, a friend of Nancy, my wife's childhood friend from the first grade. She passed away as well on Saturday. And we found out on Saturday as well through Wendy that Mabel Peden, who is Marty Hartman's sister, passed away on Saturday as well. We've been praying for her for quite some time. So, all of these folks have been in our continued prayer lives here at the church, and I'm reporting to you today that they've all gone on to glory and now are at the right hand of God. So, just be with the families as they mourn the passing of these precious people. Those needing our prayers this week as well, Sandra Wallace, the sister of Joan Dakers, she continues under health care down in Pembroke Pines. She's got cancer as well. Keep Sandra in your prayers. Betty Lee Gray has been taken back to Morris Life Rehab, so she now is back into rehab and hopefully getting some care to make her well enough to come back home. We continue to lift up the Harden family, Marlene Coker, Jane Harden's sister. She is really struggling and now is in hospice care as well. So just keep Marlene and the entire Harden family and Marlene's family in your prayers this week as well. Tom Harden as well, he went to Miami on Friday for a follow-up, and he's hoping to be able to start his stem cell treatments in August. So keep Tom in your prayers as well. Aileen Welsh, pastor friend of mine from Fort Pierce, his wife fell in Orlando, and she has continued to be in ICU for 2 weeks now. So she has really had a terrible fall and long recovery ahead. Cameron, a 12-year-old with a brain tumor, a friend of my wife as well. Harry Greiner, McKinnon's son-in-law, is undergoing cancer treatment, so continue to lift up the McKinnons and their son-in-law, Harry, if you would, in your prayers. Sharon Buyukas, her grandson, Eric, will be undergoing surgery on Tuesday at Jackson Memorial, so we will lift Eric up in our prayers as well this week. Maria, Lena's sister, is continuing to struggle with cancer in her treatments, and her husband Keith and son Jonah. The Cormany family, okay, that's Linda's. Yeah, that's me. Well, Bill Rawson, he would continue to respond to his cancer treatments as well. Beverly has a praise for her church family. We got Beverly moved yesterday, so she is now at Lincoln Towers. We're grateful for that too. Gone smoothly. Praying for Karen Ruger-John this morning as she has a job interview tomorrow. And Beverly Knapp and Kaylin for travel mercies as they come back. So our brothers and sisters in Nigeria undergoing a lot of persecution at this time. You can see it's a long list today. Wow, we have just got a lot of things going on in the lives of our church. And it's the loss of loved ones and grieving. And we just need to go to the Lord in prayer and take all these things to the Lord's cross this morning. Would you bow your heads and pray with me, please? Oh, gracious God, we are so overwhelmed at times by the need within our own church family and the world, the greater world out there, Lord. Father, we are just taking the time to step back and take a look at what is our purpose and meaning of life. Father, we see that our lives have been cut short with disease and illness, and
where people have been injured and hurt, that just dealing with cancer and heart disease and all those things, Lord, that just continue to burden us and bind us, and just the will that takes us away from our walk with you, Lord. Father, we lift up all these folks mentioned to you today, and those that are in our heart that go unspoken this morning. Father, we pray that your intercession in each of these situations would be a miracle that we could all witness to. Father, as we see healing take place, and even in the ultimate healing of going to be with you, Father, we are grateful to be your people and to have a faith that lifts us and carries us through these troubled times. Father, as we mourn and grieve and worry and wonder what tomorrow will bring, Father, let us as well focus on the joys and the praise and the positive things that go on in our lives each day. Father, I pray especially this week for our Vacation Bible School. Father, each year we pray that these children and these families that come here to Lakeside would be touched and would be moved to come back and to either renew or start a relationship with you. Father, we ask your blessing on our endeavors this week. All the hard work that goes in and the volunteers that so graciously give of their time. Father, we pray that everyone can remain joyful and in good spirits this week as we represent you to the world. So, Father, we just ask a blessing upon our Vacation Bible School this year. Father, I would pray that hearts would be touched and that souls would be won. Father, we pray for the troubles in the world, in the Middle East, in Africa, places where Christians are being persecuted and killed, and even those that have not come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, we lift them up to you today. Father, we live in a big world with big problems which require big answers. But Father, none of these answers are bigger than you. Father, if we give them up to you, we know that you will on our behalf, Lord, work in ways that we cannot understand or fathom. So, Father, I just ask your blessing upon us today as we gather here in the spirit of sowing seeds for Christ. Father, be with us today. Be with us always. Let us be your faithful people that continue to strive to be the children of God. Now let us pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Thank you. of Jesus Christ, who are the future. Father, we give you thanks. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please remain standing for our hymn of preparation. Wonderful Words of Life, 600.
Your children in church.
If you don't, you're doing a big disservice to them. You're leaving them hopeless in the world. I don't quite put it to them that way, because then they're going to think, man, that guy is crazy. But I do want them to know that church is important for children. If we can have 25 to 30, 40 families represented in these children, wouldn't that be an amazing day for our church? Mini sermon in itself. Our scripture this morning comes from Matthew 13, verses 1 through 9 to 18 through 23. As I read this morning, I want you to pay attention to where you fall in this story. The story of the sower and where the seed falls. So hear these words from Matthew this morning. Chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. Through 9 here at the beginning. That day Jesus went out of the house and sat down beside the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he climbed into a boat and sat down. The whole crowd was standing on the shore. He said many things to them in parables. A farmer went out to scatter seed. As he was scattering seed, some fell on the path, and birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where the soil was shallow. They sprouted immediately because the soil wasn't deep. But when the sun came up, it scorched the plants, and they dried up because they had no roots. Other seed fell among thorny plants. The thorny plants grew and choked them. Other seed fell on good soil and bore fruit. In one case, a yield of 100 to 1. In another case, a yield of 60 to 1. And in another case, a yield of 30 to 1. Everyone who has ears should pay attention. Would you pay attention? Turning now to verse 18. Explain what you just heard. Consider then the parable of the farmer. Whenever people hear the word about the kingdom and don't understand it, the evil one comes and carries off what was planted in their hearts. This is the seed that was sown along the path. As for the seed that was spread on rocky ground, this refers to people who hear the word and immediately receive it joyfully. Because they have no roots, they last for only a little while. When they experience distress or abuse because of the word, they immediately fall away. As for the seed that was spread among thorny plants, this refers to those who hear the word, but the worries of this life and the false appeal of wealth choke the word, and it bears no fruit. As for what was planted on good soil, this refers to those who hear and understand and bear fruit and produce. In one case, a yield of 100 to 1. In another case, a yield of 60 to 1. And in another case, a yield of 30 to 1. May God have a blessing to the reading of the word this morning. Let us bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for this message this morning. Thank you for the ways that we can put it to use in our own life. Father, let us be the seed that has been planted on good soil, that we can go forth and produce the fruit of our labors for you. Father, bless this time together today with you and your word. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
You know, as we look around churches today, how confident are you of us few professing Christians that are really living productive spiritual lives? Dan, this is the point we can raise our hands in church. How many of you think you're living spiritually productive lives? Okay, mixed reaction. Kind of mixed. We're getting better, though. We're getting better. Wow, I'm seeing progress in you. So everywhere that we look around in our lives and our times today, when we have been exposed to the Bible and its teachings, but our lives have not been changed by it. How many of you are familiar that there's a Bible?
Now, if everyone's hand don't go up, we need a meeting after church. So everyone raise your hand. This book I was holding, that is the Bible.
If we haven't been changed by the experience of living with the living Word, which path, where has our seed fallen? Any volunteers? On the path? In the thornies? Thorny bushes? We obviously haven't fallen on good soil. I'm part of American Indian, so there's an old story of a chief who was sitting around a gathering of young braves about the struggle within themselves. The chief told these young braves that it's like two dogs fighting inside of us. There's a good dog who wants to do what's right, and then there's that bad dog that doesn't want to do what's right. It's always chewing up your shoes, chewing up the furniture, doing those bad things. Sometimes the good dog wins out and you do good. Sometimes the bad dog is stronger and they win the fight. So one of the young braves spoke up and said, "Who is going to win in the end?" The chief answered, "The one you feed." Did you get that? The one that's going to win is the one you feed, right? That could be the end of our message today. Are we feeding the right dog inside of us? We need to realize that. Seems a lot of us in church today are feeding the wrong dog. You think that? Maybe the wrong dog is getting all of our attention. You know, Jesus told this parable that illustrates to us why many of us have been exposed to the Word of God, and it goes in one ear and out the other. Now, I'm not beating you up in general, but what I am doing is saying that the church today, in our world today, seems to be feeding the wrong dog. Amen?
Amen.
So what do we need to do? How do we cultivate our heart for a spiritual harvest? A few points I want to point out to you today. How do we get started? The first part of our scripture this morning talked about being prepared. Preparing the soil. Any of you farmers? Been around farm country? What's the first thing you do when you're going to plant a crop? You plow the field, don't you? If you were just to walk out there and throw the seed down on the ground in that old hard, sun-baked, hard, scrabble ground, what would happen? Not much, would it? So we need to plow the soil. That's what it's telling us here. The path. If we don't prepare ourselves and plow the soil, how will a seed ever penetrate this hard ground? And wouldn't a bird have an easy chance to come and just pick up the little seeds? It was mentioned in our scripture. The bird comes along and gets a free meal. So farmers remedy that problem by plowing the field. That's what we're told to do. 1 Peter 1:13 says, we need to prepare our minds. If you're going to get anything out of church when you come, how many of you prepare yourself before you come to church on Sunday? What do you do to prepare?
Pray.
You pray? What else do you do? When you go to bed on Saturday night and you have a really good time, maybe you're out with friends. We were out at the ball game last night. Boy, I'm good. Look.
Wow.
Did you know what? At 8:30, I told my compatriots that I'm going home because it's a school night for me tonight. At 8:30, I packed it up, came home, and I was in bed by 9:15.
And in my mind, I knew if I stayed out till the game was over and then drive home and the weather was going to get bad, maybe it'd take a little extra time. It might be 11 or 12 o'clock before I get home. Well, I would probably need to go over here now and lay down and take a little rest. So that's just one instance. If we prepare ourselves to come to church on Sunday, that should start probably on Saturday, shouldn't it? And we think that might be silly today. Well, I can stay up to midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, I can get up and come dragging in here at 10:01 and the pastor, he's up there blabbing about something, making some announcements. I got at least 15 minutes I can sit in the back and close my eyes. And then when that brilliant message comes around, I'll be next. Yeah. So what we need to do is prepare the soil. That's just one of the simple little things that we can do. The second thing we need to do, this is the second type of soil that was talked about in this parable, you need to put down roots. What does that mean to you? Putting down roots used to mean, where I came from, a little town in Missouri. Mom and Dad had a house here. When you got old enough to leave the house and get married or whatever it is you did or went off to college. But eventually you came back home and you bought the house on the street, down the street. When your brother and sister got to be the same age, they bought a house a couple doors that way or a couple streets over. We put down roots. We put down a sense of belonging to a place. I don't know if you know many people today that do that anymore. The kids come, they graduate high school, they either go to work or college, and chances are they can end up on the other side of the world. So many of our friends now, their kids live all over the world. And if they ever do come back, they're not going to buy a house on the street Mom and Dad lives on. Unless they come back and move in with Mom and Dad. But that's okay. That's okay. But putting down roots, when we do that with God, what does that mean? We get all of that rocky soil. We find a place that feeds us and nourishes us. This week with BBF, we're going to nourish some young souls. We're going to help them at least sprout the seed. I hope in the lives of these parents, we can help them put down some deep roots. If not, it's hopeless, right? What happens? The sun comes out and bake. That seed gets baked and blows away in the wind. Never knew it was ever here. Never knew it ever should have been on this planet. I love this story. I ran across this story. You know what a sensei is, right? In karate, that's the teacher. The sensei. There was this 10-year-old boy, and he decided to study judo. But he had a little problem. He had lost his left arm in a devastating car accident. He had no left arm. So the boy began taking lessons from an old Japanese judo master. He was doing so well, but he couldn't understand why that after 3 months, the master only taught him one move. He was getting discouraged. There's so much more to learn. Finally, the boy said, "Sensei, shouldn't I be learning more moves?" Sensei said, "That's the only move you'll need to know." Not quite understanding and believing in his teacher, the boy kept training. Several months later, they have a judo tournament. Surprisingly, the boy won the first couple of matches, no problem. But then as the matches moved on, the third match, fourth match, they became more and more difficult. During this most difficult match, the opponent became impatient and charged him. The boy definitely used the one move that he had been taught. And he won the match. Still amazed by his success, the boy now in the finals
This time the opponent was bigger, stronger, more experienced. For a while, the boy seemed overmatched, just getting beat up. The referee called a timeout, was nearly ready to stop the match, but the sensei intervened and said, no, let it go on. Soon it resumed, and the opponent made one critical mistake. He dropped his guard. Instantly, the boy used the one move he knew to pin him and win. The boy won the match. He became the champion. On the way home, the boy asked the sensei, we talked about every move, every match, everything that I did. Then the boy asked the sensei, how did I win the tournament with only one move? You won for two reasons, the sensei answered. First, you mastered almost one of the most difficult moves in judo. And second, the only known defense for that move is for your opponent to grab your left arm. That gives me chills. Because what we thought as a disability was his strength. The only way to counter the one move that he knew was for the opponent to grab his left arm, and he didn't have a left arm. Amazing, huh? Use what you don't have to your advantage. Makes you wonder, do we have too many arms? So our biggest weaknesses can become our biggest strength. We put our roots down deep and we learn. This young boy learned what he needed to learn from someone that could teach him. There's many reasons why Christians, when they face scorching heat of trials and tribulations, and they have shallow root systems that they just can't hang on. You know people like that? You think on the surface, boy, they're so strong, Christians. And then when things get tough, for whatever reason, they just can't hang in there. Those are shallow roots. Hebrews 6:1 tells us they have failed to go on to maturity. 1 Timothy tells us, keep hold of the deep truths of the faith. Keep hold of that. Study. Paul prayed that the Ephesians would be rooted and established in love. A shallow Christianity simply can't survive. You agree?
Amen.
Were we ever promised that life was easy? Everything was going to go right? I'd be a millionaire, have a big house on the beach? Much as I've read the Bible, I've never found that in there. You think we could find more people that were willing to put down deep roots if that was the guarantee we'd receive all those things? It's kind of hard to sell this whole Christianity thing when you tell people you're going to suffer for Christ. Boy, that's a good ad campaign. Wow. Hey, come and join us at Lakeside. We're going to suffer like you've never suffered before. Boy, have we got this suffering thing down pat. What's the payoff? No matter how much we grow, no matter how much more growing we have to do. We had a great conversation in our confirmation class on Thursday night. Pastor Peter, I'm going to tell this story on you. We were talking with the girls about how long do we have to study to get this right? How long do we have to read the Bible? Is there come a time when we say, I know enough? So I turned to Peter and I said, Peter, how old are you? How old are you, Peter?
88.
88 years old. You know what he told us? I study more now than I ever did when I was a pastor, when I was in seminary, any of those things. I study more now. And I'm growing more now than I did. Pastor, how many years were you a pastor? 50 years as a pastor, and he's studying more now than he ever did as being a pastor.
Amen.
Good grief, folks. Even when you're 88, there's still some things to do.
Amen.
Peter, thank you for that. Because that reminded me what I need to do. We're never quite caught up. We're quite there, are we? Amazing. So what are some ways we can put our roots down deep? Go to church every Sunday. Boy, now they start to squirm. Now most of you don't, but most of you come here every Sunday. You know, people would think maybe going to church on Christmas and Easter is enough. That's enough, isn't it? Pastor's still talking about the same thing he did the last time I was there. Why do I need to go back every Sunday and hear that? You never know when I might trick you up. So we go to church every Sunday. What else do we need to do? Is that enough? You've probably got about 80, 90 people here this morning. I'm so pleased we have 30 people in Bible study during this summer. The most we've had since I've been here. But I'm not good at math. I can take my shoes off. Wait a minute. There's about 90 of you in here probably right now. How come we don't have 90 people in that Bible study? Well, I'm busy on Wednesday nights. You know what? I am too. And there's good programs on Wednesday nights on TV. I like to watch. One of the things we need to do is come to church on Sunday. Maybe come to a Bible study. Maybe find a couple opportunities during the week to help our neighbors through the church. Maybe we can get together and pray for one another. Man, this seems hard. All of a sudden, the pastor's asking me to do some things that I'm just too busy to do. Now, number three. Third point in this, you may need to pull some weeds. Ooh, I'm hurting those stupid crowd. Anybody got any weeds in your life? I don't. I use weed feed and Roundup. I'm good. I've pulled all the weeds out of my life. How about you?
Wow.
You know, folks, sometimes we have some weeds. Those thorns, they grow quicker than the good stuff, don't they? You ever notice that?
Yeah.
I noticed out here in our yard, the sprinkler was broken. We didn't get any rain for 2 or 3 weeks. Every good blade of grass was dead and shriveled up. But every one of those bad ones was just as green and nice as you could ever believe. I looked out here and said, man, oh man, maybe it's not so bad to be weeded. They're nice and healthy looking. What this parable is telling us this morning. Then look outside now. There's not a brown blade of grass in that yard. What happened?
Rain.
We went to the ball game on July 3rd and we got rain on. We all grew tremendously from that experience. See, you go to the ball game with us, you get some good stuff from the ball game. I say that jokingly, but why would we go to a ball game together as a church family? Because we had a good time being with each other. We laughed, we cut up. I'm known to be a little funny sometimes.
Wow.
Who said that? You have your church, because that wasn't the appropriate time. You're so inappropriate. I've been working with you for a while now. Come on, man. You know, we laugh. Is it okay to laugh in church, by the way? every Sunday. I wonder how we'd fill up the place. You ever think about that? On Sunday might be funeral day. We come and set, we'd be doom and gloom in church, thinking about how much we messed up this week. Now there's probably no hope for us now because of that. He loves you more than anything else in the world. Yeah. We've been given something pretty special. I have a little portion here on tithing. You want me to go into that? It's 11:05. How much time do I got to talk about tithing?
All day.
All day? All right, how many of you are going to get up and leave? No, that's part of our worship experience. I, as a rule, don't talk much about money in church because, you know what? When I was a so-so Christian and the pastor got up there every week and talked about money, that's when I zoned out. I didn't even hear that. I know what you mean. But what are we supposed to do? It's not even stewardship time, but good place to slip in a little stewardship lesson, right, Barbara? Ken? You know, we're asked to give 10% of everything we have, right, to church. Well, gosh, that still leaves you with 90%. You get a lot more than God gets. So when you give 10%, who here? Oh, no, that would be the wrong thing to ask. There are some great stewardship messages in this congregation, I know. But let me just say, how many of you have been blessed more since you've agreed with God to tithe your 10%? See, boy, now they're ready to raise your hands. Amen, me too. You can't outgive God, can you? Can you outgive God? No.
Wow.
No, we can't. We can't outgive God. Well, I give to this, that, and the other thing. And I give to save the dachshunds and save the buffalo. Save the sunflower. My wife's hiding her face back. Save the Hallmark store. It was ornament premiere yesterday, did you know?
Yeah.
At the Hallmark store?
What?
Christmas in July. We've had Christmas in our house for 2 weeks now. Boy, she is glaring at me like she was like. Honey, I love you. I love you. Wow. I love you almost as much as God loves you. I still got some explaining to do. One last story, and we'll wrap it up. There's an old fable about a miserable rich man who went to visit a rabbi. The rabbi took the rich man by the hand and led him to the window. He said, "Look out there." The rich man looked into the street. "What do you see?" asked the rabbi. "I see men, women, children," answered the rich man. Again, the rabbi took him by the hand and this time led him to a mirror. "Now what do you see?" "Now I see myself," the rich man said. Then the rabbi said, "Behold, in the window there is glass. And in the mirror, that same glass. But the glass of the mirror is covered with a little silver, representing wealth. And no sooner is the silver added than you cease to see others, and you only see yourself." Makes you go,
wow.
Robin, can I have this? Put it above the cross, but we'll probably put it below the cross. So folks, when we focus on ourselves, we don't see others, do we? So today I started off by asking you what seed, where did your seed happen to fall? The rocky path, the thorns. Where did it end up? A lot to think about today, folks. What I really want you to do is to pray for this. This is why we do this. Because seeds are being sprinkled around. One or two of them are going to fall on good soil. The first year I'm going to end with one short story, I promise. First year I came here, we had VBS. Came actually before my appointment so I could help with VBS. It was really cool. I think we had 17 kids that year. One young boy, Ralph, and Ralph came to church here. Any of you may remember Ralph. VBS was over, all the kids went on about their way, and we really never seen them again. We had some follow-up meetings about VBS, and some thought was come up that, you know, what are we doing this for? These kids, they just come, they enjoy the week, they have a little fun, they leave, we never see them again. What they didn't realize was Ralph lived over here a couple streets over, about 10 years old, I think, at that point. After VBS, Ralph started coming to church. He had a big family over there. He was Haitian boy. He had brothers and things in the house as well. And I would say, Ralph, bring your brothers over here. And he would say, they don't have nice enough clothes to wear to church. I said, it doesn't matter. They go to school. Whatever they wear to school, come wear that to church. You know they never would come. But I bet for a good year, a 10-year-old boy would walk from his home a couple blocks over, would walk here, and sit back there about on this side where Gary and me are. And a 10-year-old boy would get himself up and come to church all by himself. That's a wow. So I told our committee after VBS, I said, you know what? We didn't see much produce, did we? But we found Ralph. Ralph found us. I said, if we have VBS for one child, that's enough, right? Is that enough?
Yes.
So the first year we had VBS here, we had it for Ralph. And that's enough. Every year it's grown a little bit, steadily a little each year. I had 5, 10, 15 kids. I think last year at the high night we had 38, 40 kids, right?
Wow.
Did every one of them get a wow?
No.
But I bet there was at least a couple of them. And this year my prayer is even stronger that we get a lot of these wows. Because as we minister and we, you know what, we have fun with these kids. We're not sitting down and reading Leviticus and saying, this is what you need to know. You need to know all this census stuff in the Bible. Until you figure that out, you're going to hell. That's ridiculous. We laugh, we have fun, we sing songs, we get up here, we jump around, and the pastor acts goofy, and on Saturday he goes down to the water slide. And that's okay. You don't feed them that Old Testament stuff the first time off the street. You let them find out first that you care about them, right? Isn't that all? In our Bible study, I said Jesus came and told us two things. Love God and love your neighbor. Moses came down with 10 rules. They messed that up. Made 613. Jesus came and said, come on, throw those 10 out. Here's two things you need to do. Love God. The first four, love God, our relationship with God. The second six is our relationship with one another. Amen?
Amen.
I'm done.
Wow.
If I'd started with that line, we could have been out of here a long time ago. I know close with a word of prayer. You know what I didn't do and I wanted to do? Hold on just 1 second, Wendell. Everyone that's helping with BBS, please stand up. Please stand up. They're only doing what they've been told to do, and they listen. What I want to do now is have a blessing over this group of people. Because this group of people are the ones that are going to touch lives this week. And they're the ones that are going to make a difference in the lives of these children. So I just want to pray for the BBS and for all you folks who said yes to what God has called them to do today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please, I ask you a blessing today on our Vacation Bible School. All these folks that are standing right now, Lord, have dedicated themselves this week to changing lives, to tilling the soil, to planting, to watering, and in your time, see the harvest. Father, I ask a blessing on each one of these. It is a given of themselves this week, that we will serve in humility and joy and peace, and that we will be a blessing to those that come to this site. Father, thank you for the blessings of each one of these folks. Father, I ask you your praise and thanksgiving for each one of them. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you all. Thank you all very much. Now the rest of you can stand for our closing hymn. I have decided to follow Jesus. Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.